My name's Angela, and I'm an alcoholic. Can you hear me? I'm a low talker. Okay. I thought there was only going to be like 12 people here, so. It's freaking me out a little bit. Anyway, I so appreciate hearing your stories. So I got sober October 14th, 2003. My husband got sober 3 days before me, so as you will hear, when I'm done, he is much more spiritually advanced than I am. So he says. When I got sober, we had been married 18 years. We had 4 children. We had raised them in an alcoholic home. My oldest was 18 years old. So you know why we got married. He's like a walking Hallmark card. It wasn't like, oh, this is wonderful. He's like, you're what? And I was in my first year of nursing school. I was full-blown alcoholic. I was trying to juggle these two lives, this life where I was drinking and this life where I was trying to be mom and student and wife and all these things. And I could see the trajectory. I was learning about myself in nursing school, about what happens to us, what happens when we get it, and all of that. And the self-knowledge did not keep me sober. It's not enough. It actually made me want to drink more, to be completely honest with you. We had to go, every now and then you'll go to an AA meeting and there'll be a nursing student in there that says, you know, I had to come in here and I have to like watch you people and then do a little report on you. And that's what I had to do too. And that was kind of my first introduction. And I knew his dad had been sober when I met him. And so I knew very tiny little bit about AA. I didn't know really much about it. So I did that. I came in, I watched you, I wrote a little paper on you. But it started to get me thinking. So I'm learning about what's happening to me physically in school, and I'm gone to this little AA thing, and I've seen what you guys are doing, and none of it made any sense to me. Life started to kind of fall apart. We looked like, you can imagine, probably a lot of your marriages look like at the end of your drinking. It was not fun. We were not fun to live next door to. There was a lot of yelling and screaming with the windows open. And then in the morning, just like, hey, how's it going? You know, pretending that you weren't doing that all night long. And a lot of thankfully, I had blackouts. That's probably why our marriage survived. Because some mornings I'd remember the night before, and I'd be mad at him. And other nights, and other mornings, I wouldn't remember. And he's like, "Hey, you got a pass." And that's kind of how that was. And anyway, he was working with a guy that we were friends with, and he drank like we did. And Greg came home one day and said that that this guy had gotten, you know, that his life was kind of getting together. And I'm like, "Well, what did he do?" And he's like, "Well, he got sober." And I'm like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Well, how long has it been since you had a drink?" He's like, "6 months." I'm like, "6 months?" At this point, I can't even go a day. I cannot even go unless I white knuckle it and make a really bona fide, you know. And I'm like, "Well, what did he do?" And he's like, "Well, he went to AA." And I'm like, "Huh." So everything's kind of, I can see how God's kind of like lining things up for me. And so I just got hired at the hospital as a nurse, and Greg and I play this game, and he'll come home and be like, "Do you want to go to AA?" And I'm like, "No," and we drink, and then I'd be like, "Do you want to go to AA?" And he's like, "No," and we drink. And then there was one night he came home, it was a Friday night, and he's like, "Do you want to go to AA?" And I wanted to say no, but what came out of my mouth was yes, because I had this voice in my head that said, "If you don't go, you won't go." So I'm like, "All right, we're going to go." And as God would have it, because I think God was like, "All right, let's just see how badly you want to get sober." Because the only meeting that night was in the auditorium in the hospital I had just gotten hired at. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, I didn't know about anonymity. It didn't even really occur to me. I'm like, "I'm going to know everybody there. There's going to be everyone I work with." And it didn't occur to me, like, why would they be there? It just, and so we went, and so we had the 18 years of alcoholic marriage, and now we're both going to go to AA together. And we go to the meeting, and it was not a very good one. I'm just going to say, not every meeting is a good one. But it was good that we were there. It was good that we were there. And I didn't understand anything they were talking about. And anyway, we left there and we started on our sober journey of our marriage. And I'm going to tell you something. And this is like what 18 years of drinking didn't kill. A year and a half of sobriety almost killed our marriage. Because it's like, if you picture it, it's like you're speeding down the highway and you're just throwing everything in the backseat. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And I'm a hider. I'm a stick my head in the sand kind of person. I'm hoping that when I pull my head out of the sand, you guys will have gotten it together. So I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with problems. Just get it together and don't bother me with it. So all this stuff flying in the back. And then getting sober is like you slam on the brakes and everything comes flying forward. This big wall of everything that you said you were going to do tomorrow. It hits me. And and so I was really grateful in the book, and I don't remember where it's at. I can't quote pages or whatever, but I know there was a part in there that talked about that most marriages, marriages can stay together, but sometimes you need a period of being apart. And that was our experience. So at a year and a half, I love this man. I met him when I was 17 years old. I've been with him since then. But I was starting to hate him. The spiritual giant sitting next to me. And I'm like, if we don't take a little break, I'm going to hate you, and then it's over. And there will be no recovering from that. And so we split for a while, and he worked on him, and I worked on me. Because sometimes, you get so much in a rut, it is really hard to change the dynamic of a relationship. And that was our experience, and we just needed some time apart so that we could, because we would be right back in it before I even knew. I would play my role, he would play his role, and we'd just done it for so many years. And so we did that, and I'm really grateful that we did, because once, we came back together, our marriage has been wonderful since. So if that becomes something that, happens to somebody else in AA, I can tell you that it absolutely works. There's no right way or wrong way. There's just whatever is in front of you that is going to work. It's whatever's going to be effective. And I wanted to be effective. And at that time, what I had to do in AA is I had to find people in AA, and I prayed to God to bring them into my life. Because I could have very easily found someone that said, yeah, he's a jerk, and you should kick him to the curb because he's, all this. And I didn't want that. So I had to be very discerning about who it was that I went to and who it was that I talked to. And so I found people that actually liked him. And also women that knew the program. And so they, when I wanted to go off into why he was this and that and this is why everything's bad, they would always bring me right back. What are you doing? And what are you working on? And what's going on with you? And I'm so grateful for those women that did that for me. Because that's when AA really clicked in for me. I needed it more than ever at that point. And so God sorted that out, and I'm just really, really grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have, this is not taking each other's inventory. Come on. It's like, I'm not taking your inventory. I'm just noticing stuff that I think maybe you don't know. So really, I'm being helpful, I just want you to be the best you that you can be. That's all. I don't think that really qualifies as taking your inventory. But yeah, we do that. We're so enmeshed. But we try not to. And he does his thing, and I do my thing. And we actually, it worked for us. We go to most of our meetings. We go together. And we've just done that. Even while we were separated, our home group, because they split into two groups, we still went to that meeting together. We just went into different rooms. It just, because I still loved him, and I wanted it to work. And I'm grateful today. I'm really grateful that today it works. We have four children. Two of them are alcoholics. One of them is in recovery, and one of them is still out there. And that makes me really sad. I'm so grateful that AA I pray every day for her, and I pray that, that someone will come along and they'll have a message that she can hear. And there's always hope, and I'm grateful for that. It's an amazing journey. It's an amazing journey. It's well worth it. It is hard work. It is hard work. He's a talker. I'm an avoider. So that big wall of stuff, he's like, we decided we're not going to fight around the kids anymore. We've done that for too long. We're going to go for a walk, which is really good because then you're walking. You're not looking right at each other, so the pressure's off. You're walking along, and you're out in public, so you're likely to act a little better. Because we don't want to get arrested, so we're walking along, and we're talking. I'm like, can we just not do this? Can we just take it out in the backyard and bury it? Can we not talk about this stuff anymore? And I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm like, I just want to go for a walk. And he's like, no, and he'd bring it up, and I would get mad, and I'd walk off, and I'm like, ugh. I'm like, it's never going to be better. It's always going to be like this. And then there was the one day we had talked it all out. And there was nothing more to talk about. And we did get to go for that nice walk, and there wasn't anything. And because I just give you a little bit of advice that I never figured out is if you're going to be the one that walks off, make sure you have the car keys. Because you'll be walking home like I did if you don't. And anyway, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. Thanks.
Greg, alcoholic. The one that's gotten better. It's iffy. Depends on the day. So I sure appreciate hearing you two. And thank you, Bo and Ronnie, for asking us to do this. This is great. And, you know, there's one key word in this topic that we have. It says not. Shit. Anyway, oh, yeah, sorry. So that's just where we go. I love it when I was sitting there, I was listening. These guys are married 60-some years, and she's leaning forward into the end of the mic, and I'm just like, God, is that going to be... Anyway, you don't need to lean me forward into this mic. I do that on my own. I've always done that. So the thing was for me, which was weird, is I had a totally different experience with this separation thing than she did. It's completely different. I didn't want that. I thought, and this was my mindset, she had gotten pregnant early. I joined the military. I got, did all this for her and the kids and everything. And so when she said that you have to leave, I was like, after everything I did for you, and I am this spiritual, I'm a year and a half sober, I'm the most spiritual I've ever been. She goes, yeah, you need to go. And I remember the look on my two kids, the older two kids, they're the ones that are alcoholic. One's homeless up in Portland, and the other one is 4 years sober, thank you, God. And I remember the two of them sitting around the table like, yeah, about time Dad gets out of here. God damn her. And the two younger kids, the ones our good child and then the other one that went in the Marines because she wanted to kill me. She's a lot like me, I think. Anyway, those two... they were the sweetest in the world. That separation, the thing I learned from that was twofold. One is that I realized that marriages take time and effort and all these things, that getting sober in AA didn't make our marriage better. And I thought it did. That's what I was hearing in the meetings. Like, I'm sober, I'm working with other guys, I'm going, but what makes the marriage better is working on the marriage. What made the marriage better is practicing these principles, of which I was practicing, but not all the time. She calls it showtime. Like, I'd come into a meeting, and I'm all, yeah, everything's good, and then come home, and I'm yelling, and I'm, being me. And so one of the things that helped our marriage a lot, too, is after we got together, the good kid wanted to go on an exchange student thing. And at this time, she was 16, beautiful little girl. She's playing soccer, and I couldn't imagine my little girl going to Italy and coming back growing up. So I was really hesitant on that. And so what she did was she convinced us to bring an exchange student from Italy, and she came into our house. And I'm a witness guy. I act better in public. When the door's closed, it's iffy. But so we brought this gal into our house, and it was just a wonderful experience. And my behavior got better, a lot better, having her there. And she's still friends with the family and stuff. So it's an odd thing when you think about this, is that, so I have a drinking problem. I stop drinking, and everything gets better and better and better. And they just love me, the kids. The kids, for the even now today, you know, they're a little skeptical. If you know what I'm, I like laugh of recognition. So, and I get it today. You know, for me, the way I thought things were and the way I grew up was, you know, you just, if you love somebody, that's enough. That's all you needed to do. And what she was saying, because she was doing the steps and getting better, was she was holding me to a higher standard. And the standard was this. I'm not an amends person, but I would behave in a way that I actually generally felt bad about. And so I would go to her and I would say, I'm sorry for that old behavior. And she said, it's not old behavior if you keep doing it. If you, man, that was a high bar. And so that time apart that we had was good. We went to a counselor, and can I tell this one? Okay, so we went to this counselor, horrible counselor. I swear to God, horrible. We never paid her. I told her, she almost ruined our marriage. So we go in there, and this gal, she hates men, I'm sure of it. And we're sitting there, and she started laying on about legitimately how I am. And this one was over there, yeah, get rid of that guy, get rid of that guy. And I was sitting in there, and I was getting pissed, and I was getting pissed, you know. And finally it came to me, and I stood up, and I told her off. And I said to Ange, I said, you know what, you stayed with me all that time. That's on you, and I'm out of here. And I thought our marriage was over at that moment. And it was about probably a few hours later or maybe the next day, she called, and she apologized. She said, you know, that wasn't right. We ganged up on you on that one. And she goes, what do you think of this? She goes, why don't you, there was a counselor we had seen when we, a joint counselor anyway, because we had marriage problems and all that stuff. So she goes, I'm going to go back to that guy. Why don't you find somebody to work with, and then let's just kind of get together and see what's going on. So we set up a date night, and that's what we did. And I started looking at why I was treating her, because when I did my sexual ideal, and was looking at it, she was it. And I was thinking, God, well, if she's it, why am I treating her like that? And what I came out for me was that she, you know, I had married her early. I felt like she was a burden. I felt like the kids were a burden. And this had just grown through my drinking time. And so I had, not knowing to me, is that my time?
No.
Okay, so unknown to me, that's what would always come out when we would get upset or we would get in an argument or things weren't going right, you know. And the other thing too, I had this fear of abandonment, and I was just sure that she was going to leave me. I was absolutely sure of it. And that fear and that insecurity created a scenario where I behaved in a way that ensured she would do that. It was like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I didn't know that. And so the time we were apart, I started looking at what it was, because I don't like to be alone. And I was thinking, and I thought our marriage was over. Anyway, that's the way it felt to me. And I thought, if I have actually ruined this one, then I want to find somebody, and I want her to be like her. And I thought, but I'm going to have to be better. Right, I'm going to have to, if I'm going to be able to hang in there. So that changed things for me. And I'm glad that I wouldn't tell her this. I didn't put my wedding ring back on for 5 years because she threw me out of the house. That's how petty I am. I mean, we got back together. Things were good. A's good. You know, all that stuff. But I just wouldn't put it on. I was just like, you know what? She got rid of it. You know, no. So we can't, that's how pet, well, that's me. So this is what we're up against. So it was about 5 years, and I realized how silly that was, you know, that we had finally gotten through that. And our life is better. This last 19 years has been just the best part of of our marriage, and we're retired now. We get to come down here in the winter. We have a place up in Oregon, and we just got the best life. And I gotta say, it's beyond. I remember when we got married, we would talk about how we wanted our life to be, and I think it wouldn't have been this good. You know, it just felt like we got married so young. It was just felt like everything was against us. It was her and I against the world. And we liked that kind of Thelma Louise idea, you know, we're just going to the end. And we were good when that was, but when things were good, we started picking on each other. We just start getting on each other. But anyway, we don't do that anymore, do we? Okay, good. She's the one that carries the record. She's a record keeper. Me, I just fly by the seat of my pants. So how much time do I have? Am I near? 4 minutes? So I just want to say again how nice it is to be here with you guys. And, you know, in the big book, when we got back together, a lot of guys asked me. I listened to David at the panel this morning, his powerful speech that he had this morning. And through that period of separation, there was a lot of guys that came to me that wanted to be sponsored. And I was doing a lot of sponsoring at that time. And it was weird because these guys all were having relationship issues, like to a T. And I'd always tell them, you know, don't, you know, find somebody that you could be a friend with and do this. And not one followed that advice. They all had Mrs. Wright and they all jumped right into it, right? But, I mean, you can learn that way too. You know, that was kind of the way I think Ange and I did. But, you know, that was the thing that was missing in the 18 years is we had lost that friendship piece. You know, I feel like we were, you know, she took care of the kids. I did my thing at work. And when she got her nursing degree, I kind of blamed the whole separation on now she could, she got her degree. She was making more money than me and all that stuff. And she didn't need me anymore. Kind of lined up with the idea of like I could be thrown away, which I could have been. So,
still can.
Still can. This is my cohort. See what I got for support? You're supposed to be on my side, man. Anyway, so I'm done. Thank you for having us here.